Anna Brown, Executive Director of Citizens Count, citizenscount.org, by the way. Check it out. It's an incredible resource for local, beyond, legislative, office holders, everything issues. Kind of you echoed, Anna Brown, what Paul said. You think bad news for Iowa, New Hampshire might make the cut. I want to get to the Secretary of State's race here, but let's start with the presidential primary since the DNC is going into full mode here to make a decision. Do you still think that?
I do. I'm going to stand by that because I think that if they completely shake up the calendar, you know, it's much easier to go 50-50. You know, you get rid of Iowa, but you keep New Hampshire. So it's an incremental change. I think that's more palatable to people. And I'm also going to throw out there, New Hampshire is a small state, but it is still a swing state that they would probably want to, you know, curry favor for the next presidential election. Yeah. Because And you know, we've seen Sununu is very popular here, even though we have that all Democratic delegation, and we're so attached to our first in the nation primary. I think that if the Democratic primary booted us, it's totally possible that some voters would be less likely to vote Democrat. Also, partly just because then they might get less attention from Democratic candidates who wouldn't have to campaign here. So, and I think that it's, you know, it's also telling too, for example, Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, who did very well in the New Hampshire presidential primary last time around, has even said himself, you know, he's not going to endorse New Hampshire, but he says, I still like the New Hampshire style of primary, which talks about the fact that it's a small state. It's easy for candidates to get out there and meet people and get that coverage. And that's something that's come up in other memos, for example, about Michigan and Minnesota, which seem to be the two states, as Paul mentioned, that are most likely to replace Iowa.
Well, I buy everything you're saying, Anna Brown. The only question I have is Joe Biden. If the rulemaking arm of the DNC really is waiting for the president, this is where you're going to test that relationship with Senator Shaheen. He was up here a couple times for Senator Hassan, you know, after the infrastructure bill and one other time at the port. This is where Ray Buckley, the chairman of the Democrats, this is where you're going to find out if there is that relationship. I just think, though, that Joe Biden is probably going to say, look, it, if I run again, and it looks like he is, and you all got reelected to Congress, I better do a little better up there.
Well, the other question is, though, will he run again? Because you're correct. I think after the midterms, there is more of a feeling that, you know, he's a more viable candidate to run again. But we're still looking at very low presidential approval ratings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that 4 years is far enough away. I'm not so convinced he will run again. You know, I think that there could be a big shakeup. And even though right now it is looking like Trump-Biden, you know, there are definitely other candidates in the wings that could be coming out in the next couple of years.
On both sides. Anna, let's talk. We haven't, you know, drilled down a little bit on the statehouse stuff, but that's where you really keep an eagle eye or hawk's eye on this stuff. And I'm hearing more just in the last 4 or 5 days from people that really pay attention to the New Hampshire statehouse that this Secretary of State's battle, Dave Scanlon is the current Secretary of State and a Democrat challenger, is really getting interesting given the makeup of the House being like basically 50-50. And it could even have implications on New Hampshire going first, because my understanding is by legislative statute, the Secretary of State is empowered and instructed to make New Hampshire the first primary. Once if other states move a schedule, they move it earlier. If we had a Democrat Secretary of State and the DNC decides not to make New Hampshire first, would she fight as hard for that? But talk about the Secretary of State's dynamic, because it's interesting.
Sure. So the Secretary of State is elected by state legislators, which, you know, just a reminder for listeners who may not know. So we are looking at such a close split in the state House of Representatives. We haven't even talked about the Speaker of the House, which also will be a race that day. I'm looking at that day, December 7th, next week. If a couple people get a flat tire, someone else gets the flu, the House clerk has already said, a few people have said, oh, no, I can't make it in that day already. He won't say which party they are. Whether or not Melanie Nevesque is successful in her challenge to the Secretary of State, Dave Scanlon, could totally depend just on who shows up that day. It could be that simple. And I think what will be interesting to see is whether Dave Scanlon still has a little bit of that sort of Bill Gardner sheen, because last time around, Bill Gardner was challenged by Colin Van Alstern, a Democrat, and you still had some Democrats supporting the current Secretary of State, Bill Gardner, because he was an institution. He is famous for protecting the first in the nation presidential primary. Mm-hmm. This time around, Dave Scanlon, he's only been in office a little while, and I'm not sure if he could get any Democrats on his side. That'll be the test. You know, if it falls on purely partisan lines, like I said, we're just going to have to see what the attendance is that day. Otherwise, you know, if he could win over some Democrats, that remains to be seen. Because another thing that he did was he established that voter confidence group, this this panel that was going around the state, and some people said, well, that's just giving more opportunity to voice these unfounded conspiracy theories about elections. So it's going to be tight for sure.
And as you said the other day, Anna Brown, CitizensCount.org, if a couple people are sick that day and don't even get there, it could even impact their vote on some of these.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, Speaker of the House as well. Let's not forget that a few years ago when it was a tight margin and it was a Republican, Bill O'Brien was slated to become Speaker. There was a shakeup, and that's how Sean Jasper came in. He wooed over a few Democrats and was able to, if some Republicans and then the Democratic Party, he was a Republican himself, and had this huge upset to become Speaker, saying, you know, I think we need more moderate leadership than Bill O'Brien. So a similar dynamic could happen in the Speaker's race. Could also maybe happen in the Secretary of State's race. I wonder if Melanie Levesque is trying to court any moderate Republicans, because it is true that there are plenty of things the Secretary of State does that aren't just related to the presidential primary. That's what we think about. We think about elections, but there's also business registrations and voter registrations and online systems. So,
Anna, before I let you go, in the state Senate, my understanding is Chuck Morse, who ran for U.S. Senate, did not resign his seat. So technically, is he still Senate president? And I'm hearing, is Jeb Bradley the incoming, since the Republicans have the majority? Is he the chosen one in the Senate chamber or not?
Yes, he is the chosen one. And that'll definitely set the tone in the Senate, because he's known for being moderate, really building coalitions and brokering deals between parties. So for sure, that's going to be the tone in the Senate.
Thank you, Anna Brown. Citizens Count. Check it out, citizenscount.org. Thank you, Anna.
Thanks, Jack.